It's an NRL round preview.
Here we go again.
Yeah, six teams left. Only four of them playing this weekend. Two games to get you through here. The Battle of the West between the Eels and the Panthers on Saturday. But on Friday night, it kicks off with the Battle of the Beaches. Manly taking on the Roosters. Couldn't be coming into this with different form lines, MG, with what Manly were put through by the Melbourne Storm last week and with what the Roosters endured over the Titans.
Yeah, look, both heart-stopping moments for both clubs, although Manly's happened way before the final bell. Roosters had to wait till the last play to know that they were going to advance. But Manly remind me a lot of Penrith in that first week. They played fantastic footy all year, but then they kind of forgot how good they were. And I think they both went into a bit of a lull. And coincidentally, both teams didn't rest any players in the last round. If you remember, the Seagulls put everything into beating the Cowboys up there, and they did emphatically. But what that does to the legs, you've got to find out this week. The Roosters haven't rested anybody because they can't afford to rest anybody. And as I look at their team list, that's how they've been hit by the injury stick. Number nine is TBC. Obviously, with Sam Verrill's out, he got ruled out. So that's a big loss. So now they've got to think of two things to do. They've got to either put young Marski in at number nine, or do they put Lachie Lamb at number nine and then bring in Sam Walker, which I would probably put Marski at number nine to start the game because he's a recognised dummy half.
Yep.
And then maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes into the second half, then make the change. Or according to how the game plan is going, I suppose. But Manly, Roosters are just there, and I can't believe they're there. How many times have we called them the zombies of the NRL? They just keep coming. The last week, there was the last tackle of the game. Pat Herbert passes to either Thompson on the wing or to Fafita, and they lose. And it's been that kind of gripping rugby league they've played for the last 8 weeks, just not knowing who they're going to play. But now they've got Manly who are smarting. And all this week we've been trying to get someone on the show from each club. The Panthers, the Eels, they said yes. The Seagulls said yes. The Roosters said yes. But the Seagulls said no. So they're going into a siege mentality, which I know Dez, he'll have his team pumped. And I mean pumped for this game on Friday night. They're going to come out breathing fire. They're going to come out ferocious. And in the end, I think they'll get the job done. I think on the back of Tommy Turbo, I like Nathan Cleary, they don't usually play two bad games in a row. And they're both quiet for their teams last week, their respective teams. And I think Tommy Turbo on the back of him, what a duel. Tedesco versus Trbojevic. Mm. But I think Manly will get the better of them.
Going back to the Roosters for a moment, and you talk, we know the injuries and everything they've endured this year, but you mentioned that moment against the Titans. Now, some will say that and argue that it was the Titans lost the game, the Roosters didn't win it. But this, when you look back over what the Roosters have achieved over the last decade, winning is a mentality. Yeah. Winning is a culture. And that club, along with the Melbourne Storm, has the greatest winning culture in the NRL.
If that was the Roosters, Liam, faced with that same predicament in the last second, they would have made the pass would have went to the winger. Because the experience to their side, poor Pat Herbert, like this is the first time he's been in a final. You learn from every time you play a big game. You learn when you play a final, you learn when you play Origin, you learn when you play a grand final. Whether it's good or bad, you learn. And Pat Herbert, faced with the same predicament next year in the same type of scenario, he gives the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Roosters, as you mentioned, they've been, along with the Storm the last decade, like top of the heap. They've been the top of the tree for a reason, because of their work ethic, for their next man up mentality, and for their overall skill. And they just keep providing. I love the way that the coaches, i.e. Bellamy and Robinson, keep reinventing the wheel as far as their team goes.
Just to bang on for a moment about the Roosters, right? Because yep. I mean, we've only got the two games to do in the preview, so we can hang about on some points for a moment. But this Roosters team, I wonder whether, you know, I just, with all these players that have gone out injured this year, you just wonder how it speaks to kind of what all these secondary players, the players that couldn't make the best 17 last year and the year before and the year before, how ready they've been. Do you know what I mean? Like the likes of the Butchers and the Bakers and the Candlestick Makers, but you know, Ikavalu, who's kind of been in and out of the side a little bit, and Kieran and Hutchison and all these guys who haven't been able to make the side because of the quality above them. I'm curious to know, you know, it obviously says that they've been ready. They've been ready and waiting, but they haven't been able to crack this side. And now, when they're there, it's not a case of they need to rise to the occasion, because they've been ready, but they've just been at a successful club where they can't get a spot.
Well, if you cast your mind back to earlier in the season, North Sydney are playing, I think, North Sydney are the Roosters feeder club. They're playing Manly. And all the cameras were there to see Suaalii. Now we fast forward to September the 6th, 17th, and we say that there is seven players in this squad from the Roosters who played in that game. Kieran, Ikavalu, Hutchinson, Sam Walker, Egan Butcher, Fletcher Baker, and I think maybe even Marshke might have as well. So maybe more. So to say that, to reinforce your point, yes, they were ready, and they've been ready for a long time because of the system they're in. Not many clubs would be in this situation. Not many clubs, I dare say, maybe another one or two in the competition after given the hand they've been dealt this year with the injuries, with the retirements, with the wealth of experience that they've succumbed to. Not many teams will be in the second week of semi-finals footy.
No way.
Their opponents, well, Croker's back, massive in. The fact that they got towed up by Melbourne last week, you can imagine what Dez is going through each day that they're in front of a video or each time they're training. It'd be some key word that he'd be saying, don't let that happen again. And I don't think they will let it happen again. I don't know who's going to win this game. I really don't. I don't know who's going to win either game. I can have my opinion who I think's going to win the game, but when it really comes down to who, if I had to put money in this game, I wouldn't put money on either team because I don't know who's going to win it. I swear to God, I don't.
From the Manly, I mean, this is the other thing we should note. This will be Marty Tapau's 200th game.
Wow,
so well done to Marty. Not that I think, you know, finals and milestone games will give any more sort of, might in regular season, but when we're in your finals and it's...
don't forget, we're in elimination. This is the first time this year Manly's been in one.
Yeah.
It's the first time this year Penrith have been in one.
That's a good point. Looking at the two sides, if not named Tom Trbojevic, key player for the Manly Seagulls.
Pardon?
Give me a Manly Seagulls player not named Tom Trbojevic.
It's got to be DCE.
Yeah.
It's got to be DCE. He was very quiet last week against Melbourne. And I can't blame him when he's quiet because you got to have the grunt up front. We saw that with South Sydney. We saw that with the Melbourne Storm. The two teams have gone straight through the prelim. They got there for a reason because their forwards rolled their sleeves up.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the Panthers didn't and the Seagulls didn't. So they'd be thinking to themselves, thank God we get another chance this week to redeem ourselves, because last week we were ordinary.
Significantly, we should mention as well, Takiahau is out for the Roosters.
Big out.
Leg injury, won't be playing this week. So the significant, you talk about that forward battle, he is a key ingredient for the Roosters. Then on the Roosters side, not named James Tedesco, give me a Roosters player that holds the key to victory.
Radley.
Yeah, I think we saw that first 40 minutes or so against the Gold Coast Titans.
Far out. You need your alpha male playing, and he's overtaken Hargraves as the alpha male because of the fact that he's such an integral part of their attack, and he sets the tone in defence. He's the barometer of everything they do good, and he showed that against the Titans. He doesn't play against the Titans. Titans win.
I remember, I think it must be 2 years ago now, when you, maybe even three, but probably 2 years ago, when you really started banging on about Victor Radley. He was the 21-year-old. I think it was the year the Roosters won the comp. And you'd seen the style that he plays, which we're all so familiar with now. You'd seen it and you'd loved it. And you were saying it was him v. Murray for the best young forward in the comp. And then now, what we saw in that first 40 minutes against the Titans, that is hyperdrive, Victor Radley. It was so physical. The hits he was putting on was nailing everybody. And we spoke to him during the week, and he talked about that stinger he suffered on the shoulder.
Yeah,
where they were trying to drag him off for a HIA, and he's like, "It's not my head; it's my shoulder." And the grief that he got from his old man for staying down as long as he did. The mentality and the work ethic and the way he goes about the game. It is just, it's old school.
Well, it is old school, and that's a throwback. That's why I was drawn towards him as soon as I saw him play. I thought this kid is a throwback to, you know, the 80s and the 90s when ball playing locks were the aggressive of the team, and he's just a fantastic player. He's he's got so many strings to his bow that Roosters are lucky to have him. And for that reason, I give the Roosters every chance. I deep down think Manly will win, but I can't say it with any great confidence.
Give us the scoreline.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think both teams will score around 20 points, maybe 22-14 to the Seagulls.
22-14 Seagulls and a first try scorer.
Sabu.
Right. Let's get along to the second final this weekend, Saturday night. And this is a double-header weekend in Mackay as well.
Yeah, I was living in Mackay this weekend.
Absolutely. Panthers $1.22, Parramatta $4.25.
Yeah, wrong. That's not right.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's not right.
It can't be right in a two-horse race in an elimination final.
Well, let's cast our mind back to round five last year, 2020. Penrith had their first loss and only loss up until the grand final against Parramatta. I think it was 18-10 or 16-10 or something like that. And then they just kind of went on that roll. And Parramatta, and again this year, let's cast our mind back to that penalty goal that Mitch Moses had 40 metres out at 13-12 down to win the game for them. So they've always been thereabouts against Penrith. That's why you can't discount them. The fact that Madison's back in their 17 makes them stronger. The fact that they won last week and Mitchell Moses' running game was at unbelievable. What a point that was at. I've never seen that for a couple of years. I haven't seen him run like that for a long, long time. Mm. And I forgot how good he was of a ball runner. So if he does that against Penrith, they're in a bit of trouble. But it comes down to the men up front. Campbell Gillard was immense against the Knights. Moses Leota comes back into the team for the Panthers, gives him a bit more strength up front with Fisher Harris, who had a quiet game by his lofty standards. Junior Paulo and Campbell Gillard against Moses Leota and Fisher Harris. There's where the game's won and lost. Forget about what Moses can do. Forget about what Nathan Cleary can do. We saw it. We saw Burgess off the bench run for 250 metres.
Yep.
We saw Dry Arrow muscle up against Penrith. If they want any chance of beating Penrith, they've got to do the same thing. You've got to watch the video of what South did to Penrith and just replicate it.
Mark Nichols was rolling through the Panthers.
Just watch it. Just watch what they did, and that's what you. That's the only way to beat Penrith. You got to shell shock them. Because if Penrith got time, they score points. And saying that, but Brian To'o will be better. Nathan Cleary and Jerome Law will be better. Dylan Edwards at fullback coming in will be better. Sorensen on the bench adds a little bit more stability. So, you know, I think Penrith will win this game. I don't think by a lot, but I think it's going to be another close game. It could even be like a 2019 or 21-20 or something like that.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be go down to the wire, and I think someone like Panasini might even score the first try.
Going back to Parramatta for a moment, I'm drawn back to, I think if they win this game, and maybe even if they don't win this game, I think the decision, first of all, to suspend discussions around Clint Gutherson's future, they'll look back and say, why didn't we do that, you know, a week ago?
Yeah,
why didn't we
yeah.
keep the discussion as in-house as possible? I know there were mitigating factors like, you know, managers and media and all the rest of it. But
yeah.
The decision to put Clint Gutherson's negotiation to the side until this campaign is done is a masterstroke. But I'm drawn to Mitchell Moses in that media session. I can't remember who he was speaking to, but
yeah,
where he said, we came together as a group.
We addressed it.
And this was around the whole hotel room saga. Uh-huh. We addressed it as a group. You guys don't need to know what was said. That's for us. But suffice to say, it wasn't an issue, but we have spoken about the issue and it's done and we're moving forward with this. It strikes me that not only was that issue addressed in that meeting, but I think potentially it's not an unreasonable conclusion to draw that more was said and this team seems to have come together, you know.
Because of it. I think when a team keeps answering their critics the way Parramatta have, you've got to take them seriously. For a start, that you know that was kind of when they lost them four games in a row, and we all know that winning creates less headlines. They beat, you know, they around that time was about Gutho and about the rooms, and everyone's just trying to find out why this team who has so many stars is going so bad, and then different scenarios are tossed up. Then they beat the Cowboys, then they beat the Melbourne Storm with a big exclamation mark. That was the big one. That's what kind of got them back in the groove, beating the Melbourne Storm. And I think that's the night they said to themselves, we can win this comp.
Yeah.
So, look, I think it was, again, momentum over resting. We all said, oh, come on, Parramatta are on a roll. Don't don't rest them. Like, the momentum's there. But what he got out of it, he got someone like Ray Stone in that game against Penrith, which they lost when they rested all their players. They found one little diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
And they said, this guy wants to be in finals footy, so let's give him number 9. And he ran out there and tackled his ass off last week. He'll do the same again this week. And then it's an enthralling game in so many ways. Will Blake Ferguson let 3 tries down his side like he did last week against Tuala? Will Brian Tottle, you know, try and do the same thing? Will that be different? Will that be stronger? Well, it's got to be against Penrith. You got to think it's got to be against Penrith.
Mm. In the same way that we're all very excited about Victor Radley and what he did last week against the Titans and what he could do against Manly tomorrow night, I'm similarly excited about Nathan Brown in this game. I think, you know, you talk about those, the big boys, RCG and Paulo versus Leota and Fisher-Harris, but I get the vibe about, I've still got in burnt into my mind is the vision or is the image of Nathan Brown racing off the bench for New South Wales and just meeting Jake Friend in that very first tackle, his very first impact in State of Origin. And I've got a vibe about him in this game as well. I think you might see him put on a couple more hits similar to that and really leave an imprint on this game. So,
well, he might try and do the dry arrow role that he did last week. That's what they need. Parramatta needs someone to do the dry arrow role. And that was get in the face of the Panthers and unsettle them. And it worked.
Yep.
And Penrith need one as well. Who's the player in the Panthers forward pack who's going to do that? That's the question we've got to ask, because I don't think it's going to be Billy Kickout.
No, well,
I don't think it's going to be Kirk Cadwell. It's got to be Fisher Harris.
It's got to be. And you said last, it was, you know, as you said, it was as quiet as we'd seen him all last week, all year against the Bunnies last
week. Even Tevita Pengua off the bench has got to be that man.
Oh, maybe they light a fire under TPJ.
Why not? I'd say.
I mean, you're playing with fire anyway, trying to fire up TPJ.
Yeah, so let's just go one step further, boys. Turns
into a wildfire.
Give him the green light.
There we go. Put that on your front pages. MG gives TPJ the green light.
Bang.
And he won't name names when he goes to the tribunal.
No.
Righto, you're tipping the Panthers, no doubt. You've given 20 to 19 scoreline.
21-20.
And Penasini, you say, is potential first try scorer.
Yeah, Will Penasini, very impressive young man.
All right, I like it. There it is. That's your week 2 of finals round preview. Next week, we'll be doing 2 more finals, but there will only be 4 teams left in the hunt for the premiership.